Hello, this is the Overtones Podcast, a show about the beauty of diversity within Christianity today. I'm Joe, and I'm a church worker.
I'm Christy, and I'm a church historian.
And I'm Lorraine, and I'm a Christian teacher. On our show, we talk to academics, professionals, and full-time church workers to explore lesser-heard voices that are shaping the church today.
Listen with us, and this season we'll explore how Puritans coped with same-sex attraction in 17th century America, how Taiwanese evangelical preaching addressed the presidential election in 2024, the unique challenges to evangelism facing Korean city churches, the changing perception and pastoral support for single women in the UK, and more.
So I guess my story about singleness that comes to mind actually happened recently. It was in December, and it involves rats.
Oh, no.
So I had some flour. Like, I saw a trail of flour in my kitchen, and I didn't know what it was from, so I swept it up, and then the cleaner came the next day, and the trail of flour was back.
Oh, wow.
And so I opened the cupboard, and clearly, like, rats had had a field day in my, like, flour and sugar cupboard.
Oh!
I hate rodents. Like, absolutely, completely uninterested. I don't even want to pet anything. So the first thing I did was ring my friend Char, who's married with 5 kids and lives down the road. And I said, "You've got to come over. I have rats." And immediately, they all ran down the street. The kids were thrilled. Super excited about finding a rat. She helped me figure out, it was the day before everyone was going on Christmas holidays. So I was like, what are we going to do? How are we going to get, like, pest control in? She was like, no, we're going to have to drive, you know, somewhere far away to find some sort of rat poison to put down. Anyways, in, like, God's kindness and providence, the pest control company had one more slot for the day. So they came, and the rat man, shout out to John, he was great. He came and, like, kind of dealt with it. Then the kids, like, absolutely just loved, every time I saw them from then until yesterday, saying, "Have you found any rats? How are the rats?" All their Christmas cards to me involved rat.
Oh, that's amazing.
They had me over on Christmas Day for breakfast, and they were like, "How are the rats? Did you bring one with you?" And I think it just really highlighted to me that, like, being single doesn't mean being alone.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of thing that you could feel very alone and, like, stressed about. I know I would have felt absolutely horrible. And it's the kind of thing that's also a bit shameful. Like, you don't want to tell everyone you had rats in your house, although I'm doing it right now, because people might not want to come over. And so the fact that, like, they shared in that, you know, kind of silly experience with me made me feel so much like I didn't have to go through any of it alone, even though I do live alone and am single.
That's a beautiful story, Nancy Page. I love it that even rats can show us about the grace of God.
Yeah. And it, like, it kind of continued because a couple friend of mine were walking home with me recently, and I hadn't told them about the rats because they'd been out of town. And when I told them, he immediately said, "Oh, I'll come in and check the traps right now."
Aww.
And I said, "Oh, actually, like, the rat man's taking care of it." And he's the kind of friend who, you know, they always take out my bins before they leave when they've come over for dinner and things like that. And I think those are some of the, like, gifts of singleness that I'll, like, always cherish, of having relationships with people who really, like, see me as a part of their life and vice versa.
This is a very, very good example of singleness, because we very often, sometimes we live alone, sometimes we live with other people, but that means we encounter unexpected problems in our lives. And what do we deal with it? And those are very often the occasions of experiencing God's grace. But at times, those are the moments that our singleness is most prominent.
So, rats, relationships, God's grace. Stay tuned, listeners. This is our podcast on singleness in the British Christian context. We're interviewing Nancy Page Lowenfield. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
to have you with us today. You are not originally from the UK. Could you tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you ended up working at a church in Oxford?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Texas, and I like to tell people I ended up in Oxford by delusion.
Okay.
So the long story is, or the short version of the long story is that I was thinking about studying theology, considered some places in the US, and then my dad got invited to a fundraiser for Wycliffe Hall, which is the evangelical college in Oxford. And he couldn't go, but he said, you should go because they'll serve prime rib. So the only reason I went to the Wycliffe thing was because they were going to serve prime rib. And I guess, like, you know, again, in the Lord's providence, I thought, well, maybe I'm ready for a change. You know, I was 30 and single, and my life had not kind of panned out how I thought it would. And so I thought, why not go to Oxford for a year? And then I got really stuck in at church while studying in my first year. And the role came open to work with postgrad women at St. Ebbs. And I applied, and I'm pretty sure I was their only applicant. So they've just been stuck with me ever since.
And very blessed by your ministry, as Christy and I can both attest.
Yeah, very, very much providential as well.
Absolutely. So what's it like being a church worker in the UK from the US? Do you miss life in America, the church in America?
Yeah, I think I often tell people I miss the food.
Yes.
Like, nothing compares to Tex-Mex for me. And I miss people.
Sure.
So I'm very close to my family. I've got 6 nieces, 1 nephew.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So that's what I miss. I think the differences, I mean, there's tons of differences, I would say. And I definitely, like, come at the UK church as a bit of an outsider. Like, I've had to kind of learn cultural norms here that are different from what I grew up with, which I hope makes me more empathetic to people who are coming to Oxford as brand new people.
Right.
Oxford's also a pretty easy place to come as a international student, as you guys both will know.
Yes.
Because there's so many international people. But it definitely has its challenges, of course.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Do you have any specific ones in mind you want to talk about?
Well, one of the things I feel like I maybe have started to get a bit of a reputation on is that I feel very comfortable talking about money and fundraising, in part because I think all money's God's money. I grew up with a dad who fundraised a lot and made it very clear that it was an opportunity for people to get to serve the Lord with a part of their life. And we get to play just like a role in helping them do that. But I feel like money is such a different thing in the UK church, the way we speak about it.
Yes.
Even like I grew up with a plate being passed in front of us every Sunday at church.
Sure. Same.
Even actually one of the like childhood stories people tell about me is that when my dad was installed as the rector at a church, I was 2 years old and the plate of money went past and I started chanting money, money.
That's amazing.
So I guess talking about money has literally always been a part of my life. But I guess in terms of singleness, I think being single in the UK church is much easier than the US church.
Ah, okay. Please tell us about that.
I feel very blessed to be at a particular church where there's a lot of single people on staff, including our rector.
Sure.
And so being single in some ways feels like the norm. I think we have equal single and married people on staff.
Okay.
But when I was growing up, the concept of an unmarried pastor, especially like a rector or senior pastor, was just kind of unthinkable.
Right.
A pastor has 1 wife and like children.
Sure.
So I think even though I came here, you know, as an adult, that was one of the things that I'd never really thought about before, that being in ministry and being single is a really viable way to live. And actually, that sounds so silly to say, because you look at 1 Corinthians and Paul says, I wish you all could be single.
Right.
But I feel like in my experience of the American church, we've really downplayed what that means. And even maybe Jesus's singleness and what that means for us too.
Sure.
I think that's very similar to like an Asian culture, like Asian Christian culture. Like in Taiwan, in Singapore, where I worked this past year, very often, I think, like a nuclear family idea, that's the model Christian lifestyle. And that's even more prominent among pastors and Christian workers, or at least when people are introduced, it's very often, oh, this is the pastor, this is their wife and their children. And it plays out in the job market as well. Like if you're married, people very often said you're more likely to be hired. Because they think if you come with a wife, then first of all, you're very stable. You're married, you're stable. And they often also think that your wife is going to help out as well. So we're not just getting one, we're getting two.
I think that's very similar in the US.
Interesting.
Do you think there's a parallel between the church's perception of singleness and that local culture's perception? Do you think that it being more acceptable to be single in the British church connects with British culture more generally, or not necessarily?
I have such a limited perspective on the British culture widely because I've only lived in Oxford and I've only been here for 6 years.
Okay.
And so my perception is that it's fairly easy to be single, but I also live in a town where the average age is like 25.
Sure.
And they just rotate through, so.
That makes sense. Oxford is its own little microcosm, isn't it? It doesn't really represent British culture as a whole.
I think, I will say though, like coming from the American South, I'm from like a very Bible Belt area. People do get married much younger than they do over here.
Yes.
I mean, where I did my master's, there's kind of a joke that people talk about like ring by spring. If you're not engaged by your final year of university, like,
you've done something wrong.
Yeah, or you've done something wrong completely.
Yeah, that was the same at my undergrad.
And I would not say that's true at all for students here in Oxford.
No.
It's fascinating. Is it? I find it fascinating that you put it that way because when I was at EBS, I served mainly international students, undergraduate students, and they're mostly from Singapore and Malaysia, more of a Chinese, mostly Christian background. And very often what I heard them say is that, oh, this is so different here. The British evangelical culture is all about getting married very young. And I think if you compare a place like St. Ebbs or a conservative evangelical church in the UK and a church in Singapore in Taipei, and I wonder whether the kind of urban nation culture is prominent there as well. So that's another factor. People get married a lot later. Also, I think for a lot of people in my generation in Asia, it's all about getting a job, being stable. Now you are qualified to think about family. And Christians very often think the same as well. So for people to think, oh, now we're dating and after we graduate, that's something that's just on the agenda and we will probably do it sooner than later. I think for a lot of Asian Christians, they just see that as it's almost like a Western Christian phenomenon that they can still see in a place like Oxford.
So it's all relative, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. And you're right. I can think of undergrads who, if undergrads are dating here in Oxford, getting married does seem like the thing to do.
Hmm.
I guess where I studied, it felt like everyone got engaged, which is not true. Whereas at EBS, it feels more like the minority of students, but still probably way more than in the context that you're talking about, Christy.
Sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's where cultural differences are at play. And you can see that in more kind of the wider society as well as a church.
Yeah. So what are some of the unique challenges of being a single woman working in a church, Nancy Page?
Yeah, I often think about my singleness when I love hospitality and having people around, but I often think about it when I'm doing the washing up afterwards.
Aww.
And think it'd be really nice to share this with someone else. And obviously, like, I live alone by choice. I like living alone because I like being able to have people come and stay and things like that.
Sure.
But I think particularly like just sharing the like joy and the burdens of ministry with someone.
Yes.
Would be really nice. And, you know, I remember hearing, before I ever even considered ministry, hearing someone pray for their future spouse or, you know, encouraging people to pray that it'd be someone that you could do ministry with together. And I never really understood what that meant, I think, in my, like, being naive and not really thinking even about how it played out for my parents. But I think there's a lot of things that I would really, like, love to be able to do alongside someone that, and maybe it's like my just feeling like I'm getting old and I'm a bit tired.
Aww.
So I'd really love to like do it with somebody else. But also there's like lots of joys that at the end of the day, I'd love to share with someone else.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, definitely something that I think a lot of single people will be able to resonate with.
Yeah, I feel like I've tried to counterbalance that by being really intentional with building relationships with people. And the Lord has really blessed me with friends like that will come over and take my bins out. And to be fair to all those friends, they always stay and help with the washing up.
That's wonderful.
That's never actually... One time, there's a guy I was like kind of interested in, and a bunch of my friends came around for dinner, and so did he. And he asked what he could bring. And I'll be honest, single boys don't contribute like super helpfully to like dinner parties.
Okay. Yes.
The things that they can like feasibly pick up at the store, I've already got. So I said, you could help with the washing up. And to be like fair to him, I probably was trying to test him, you know, because washing up really matters to me.
Of course.
And at the end of the night, it came to like washing up. And he said, you know, I'm just really tired. I'm just not sure I can stick around. And I was like, oh, that's okay. You know.
Oh, no.
Because I like quite fancied him and was like nice about it. And then, so he leaves the kitchen and then goes and sits and talks to people for another hour.
Ooh.
Oh.
And another girl came in and did the washing up with me.
Oh, wow. Unacceptable.
And I won't lie, he was never invited back to my house.
He was off your list.
Fair enough.
Yes, that seems completely reasonable on your part.
I think I've heard similar stories when it comes to single people having similar experience at church, maybe in a wider community, when it comes to living a life with friends, relating to other people. Well, I mean, it goes with all of us that when we want to make friends, we want to build up good relationships, then we make sacrifices. But when it comes to single people, it seems that the sacrifice, there's a little bit more of that. When you're not really sharing everyday life with someone else, when it comes to hosting, it's you being first at the party and being the very last person, and you have to do all the cleaning up. You have to kind of carry that extra burden. Is there anything that you would like to share when it comes to what the wider church community can do better when it comes to serving single Christians, especially single Christian church workers?
Oh, that's really kind. You know, I was chatting to a single friend of mine the other day who we were both talking about how, you know, we love going to weddings, we love celebrating people, but kind of all the things that can come with a wedding and your friends getting married these days feels like a lot. What, you know, the hen do or the bachelorette party, the bridal showers, all of these different things, which like we want to celebrate our friends, but that the there's a bit of an imbalance. So somebody gets married, they've got all these parties, and then maybe they've got children that come, and there's baby showers. And then there's maybe, you know, you've got a husband who plans like a big 30th birthday for you, all these things. And when you're single, when will these people ever celebrate me?
Hmm.
These people that I've celebrated like many times right. over. So I think I can empathize with that to an extent, but I feel like I have had people be intentional about celebrating me. But I think that's one thing, is like kind of recognizing that there are big things in people's lives, you know, buying a house, getting a new job, finishing a DPhil, all sorts of like big celebratory things that especially I think church community can do a big deal of celebrating in people's lives.
Yes.
And recognizing, particularly with single people. And I think it's a two-way street, because I am absolutely so grateful for the friends and families who've kind of let me in to be a part of their life. Just last night, my friend who lives down the street with 5 kids, I went over there for pizza and movie night, and we watched David Attenborough, and the kids taught me that narwhals are actually real animals. Guys, I thought that they were just fictional. I felt so dumb. There was a 6-year-old laughing at me.
Aww.
But like, just like being a part of people's lives and being included in people's lives makes such a difference. And I also think single people, you know, I gave a talk a few years ago saying, you choose to be sad and single. There's a part of singleness that there is like an ache and a longing. But in terms of like throwing a pity party for ourselves, which I've done many times, we actually can choose to like build community and ask people first, you know, kind of invite people into our lives first and then pray that that gets reciprocated. And I would say that's true of a lot of my relationships, especially being a ministry worker. You just can often think that, oh, they're really busy. They've got a lot going on. They do Bible studies late at night. They must always be invited around to people's houses. That's not true. Like most Sundays, I go home alone after the morning service.
Aww.
Which is fine. Sometimes I do just want to like be by myself. But I think there's a perception, especially about single people in ministry, that they're really busy and don't have time for a relationship, or that there's already other people inviting them around. But like, I can count on 2 hands, like the number of times I've been invited around to someone else's house that's like a new person.
Right.
I think that's something we just like forget in church community, maybe especially about ministry workers, is that... Or we think they're always having people around, so they don't have time.
But often that's why you need to be invited around, because you're always kind of putting yourself out there. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I've realized I do this kind of with all ministry workers. We invited our senior pastor and his wife over, and they were kind of astonished that we would invite them, but they were absolutely delighted just to come round for dinner. And I think probably it affects single church workers even more. But I think it's so important that we try in whatever ways we can to minister to our ministers. And it's really easy to forget how important that is.
Yeah, I love that you invited them over. I remember as a kid, my parents kind of talking about how few invites they ever got. Aww. And not in a complaining way, just like, I think they both were a bit shocked. They didn't grow up in ministry families.
Right.
And so they just assumed that you would be invited to everything.
Sure. We've kind of talked about this a bit, but is there anything else you would want to say about any unique blessings that there are to being a single church worker?
Yeah, I think I've really tried to lean into this the past few years of recognizing when Paul talks about like single-mindedness, that it is really true that I'm able to like focus so much of my attention on the Lord and encouraging people. And I see, you know, and my friends and my sisters and their kids having families, being married, does mean that, rightly so, your attention can sometimes be a bit narrower into those people who are closest to you, because it takes more time to nurture and care for those relationships that are like kind of your core family.
Sure.
So I think a real blessing is getting to just know lots of different people and walk alongside them in different parts of life and be flexible with, you know, time and life and space. You know, one of the joys for me for living alone is that I actually can have people come stay. And, you know, whether it's former students or missionaries, different people like that. Now, I think sometimes I have to watch myself, because I'll say yes to things and then not realize how overwhelmed or overtired I am and things like
sure.
that. But I think that, yeah, that's a real joy. And just the, you know, the flexibility I have of being able to, if somebody is like in a crisis, you know, it's much easier for me to drop everything and say, yeah, I'll meet you there. And I think meeting people where they are makes such a difference. I know we live in a society that talks a lot about boundaries, and I'm not against boundaries. I think boundaries are good. But sometimes I think Christians need to have fuzzier boundaries and say, yeah, I'm willing to lay down my life, or I'm willing to lay down my schedule for other people. And I think singleness provides an easier route to that in a lot of ways, just logistically. I don't have to worry about like finding someone to feed children, or
sure.
that I'm leaving somebody at home alone.
That's beautifully said.
Yes.
That Christians need fuzzier boundaries. I can testify to that, because MP, you've gone to her house. She has 2 living rooms with 2 sets of television. I mean, she doesn't need that. She has that because she's very hospitable.
That's amazing.
To be fair, I've gotten rid of the other TV now, Christy, but I still have two living rooms.
All right. So people shouldn't be looking forward to that now. But you should have two sets of two living rooms and a big kitchen for her to host.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And another thing I'll tell you, for Christmas, my parents came over, but they didn't come till Boxing Day.
Okay.
And so I hosted 11 students for Christmas Day.
That's amazing.
And that was such a joy. And it, I think being single meant I had so much flexibility in that because I didn't have to worry about like meeting somebody else's family's needs.
Sure.
As well as my own. And it was so fun. And we had a great time. And I did not cook a turkey because I've never roasted any sort of bird.
Not even a chicken.
I've never roasted a chicken. No, I'm kind of terrified.
What? Oh my goodness.
Okay. I know it's so easy. I made beef brisket instead because I'm a Texan.
That's fine.
Mm.
Amazing.
Yummy.
Yeah.
This is maybe a really personal question, but I kind of wondered if either of you would have any advice to give other single women, maybe for those times when it is quite hard to be single. Are there any practices that you have or scriptures you turn to that you found particularly helpful in those times?
Yeah, I think I was really impacted in my early 20s by an essay that was written by a woman called Paige Benton, now Paige Benton Brown. And you can find it online if you Google Paige Brown singleness. But she talked a lot about how, like, when is it too old to be single, first of all. She comes from the same, like, kind of social culture that I come from.
Right.
So she was a ministry worker at my university when I was an undergrad,
okay,
a bit before me. And she talked about how singleness can be really hard. But if we believe that God's word says no good thing does he withhold from the righteous, but in light of Jesus, we are the righteous,
right,
because he's made us that way. Sometimes it feels like grasping, you know, the last straw to believe that. But that's something I go back to again and again. No good thing does he withhold. And that God does have purposes and plans for my life. And this, where I am right now, is part of that.
Mm.
And trying to see the ways that I can live that out most fully in this season. I don't know the future for anyone, certainly not myself. But that's something I've held on to, that singleness is good. And it's good, not just for me, but my singleness is good for other people. And my singleness is a gift to other people, or can be. So I think that's what I try to encourage. And that it's okay to really, like, struggle with singleness, too.
Yes.
That's not what I want for anyone, kind of, to go through life always feeling like it's a struggle. But sometimes it is. And it's okay to really recognize that and to find people that you can feel comfortable actually talking about it being hard together.
Yeah, I thought what MP shared was very true. And maybe just to kind of follow what she said, one verse that I've been meditating on recently is John 10:10. You know, Jesus said that he comes so that we may have life and to have it to the full. And he doesn't say, oh, you marry people. You people who are dating and are happy, you're having a life to the full. Whereas if you single people, you're not really people I'm addressing. So I think for me being single, and very often I think I probably fall into the category of people who sometimes can be very resentful of this being a reality of my life. But I think this is one of those verses that really encouraged me. Like, how can I, as a Christian, live life to the full? And it's not so much about what I kind of try and strive to achieve, to do. And it's not about getting married. But to go back to that verse and think about why Jesus comes and why I follow him. And what does it mean to live life to the full? Because Jesus doesn't want us to be just sad and to kind of complain about things we don't have. But he wants us to celebrate and to live in the reality of us being with him.
Yes.
And so I do think that's something that I want to spend more time thinking about. The other thing, I think, for me to continue to be faithful as a single Christian is to go back to a moment in time. And it was actually when I was in Oxford. I think as evangelicals, very often we sing songs, we pray, we do Bible studies. Our way of doing Christianity or doing church is very word-based, it's very fellowship-based, and there's a lot of good things that come out of it. But I realized in my last year in Oxford that I spent very little time just meditating and being quiet before God, just to be with God without saying much. And I was just encouraged to do that one day, and I spent the whole morning walking around Christchurch Meadow with my Bible and a journal. And I was praying, and there was a moment of peace and fellowship with Christ. And I experienced just a lot of joy just spending that time with God. And I think that was a moment of recognition that it's because I'm single that I can spend like a Monday morning for hours just sitting here and pray. And I experienced that joy and confidence knowing that because I'm single and because God wants me to be single, then that's something that I can repeatedly enjoy if I do pursue that intimacy with him. Almost I have that advantage of being very flexible with my time, and I can always go back to that place of being with him without being interrupted. I think I just experience true joy. You know, when life gets a bit harder, I think I do go back to that moment and remember that.
That's tremendous.
Christy, I love that story so much. And I think especially knowing you and have walked a bit of life with you, hearing that is all the more encouraging.
Oh, thank you.
And in a weird way, it made me think of this story. So I was home about a year ago at dinner with some family friends. And one of the family friends said to me, you know, same age as my parents, Nancy Page, I pray for you every day for you to find a husband. And I was a bit like taken aback. It's not somebody that I'm super close to personally. And while I was like grateful that he prays for me, I felt really strongly, and maybe there's a sense of pride that I was like, I don't want him to like pity me. But I said, oh, you know, thank you. But I have so much joy in my life. Like, I am really grateful for the life the Lord has given me in this season of life, whether it's temporary or permanent. And he said, oh, I know, but from what I hear, you'd be happier if you were married.
Oh!
And it just made me really sad that that was the perception. And honestly, if I ever consider moving home, that is what rings through my head, is that because I think there's just a cultural thing about that. But the fact is, there is a lot of joy and goodness and things we can be grateful for in singleness. Just like you said, having, you know, multiple hours on a Monday morning to sit with God's word and be in his presence without having to consider, you know, anything or anyone else. That's such a gift. And Christy, you and I both know, like, we have much more control and flexibility over our time and how we use it. And I think I'm so encouraged by you saying, like, living life to the full. What does it look like to use our time as single people? We can, like, veg on the couch and, like, binge Netflix series. And I'm not saying I haven't done that and won't do it again. But we also have the ability to, like, invite other people over who also are feeling perhaps a bit lonely, or, like, they don't fit into a certain, like, social category, and do it with us.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just encouraging, like, group Netflix binging.
That's very well yes. said. And also, I think we do have that unique position of witnessing to the world what a Christ-like life looked like. Like, how do we live a single life to the full? Like, how can he be full of joy? And then how can he be still rich in fellowship with other people and with God? And that, in a way, can be a very attractive, very appealing lifestyle. And that can bring a lot of encouragement to both single and married people, both Christians and non-Christians.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And someone said this at Church of England Synod recently. Singleness is not synonymous with loneliness. We don't have to assume that everyone who's single is lonely.
That's fantastic. Thank you both so much. Thank you, Nancy Page, for being here. You're both so inspiring to me, and I'm sure will be to all of our listeners, just your single-minded pursuit of the Lord's will for your life and how you can bless others through this season of your life, however long it may be. I pray God's blessing on both of you and on all of you, our listeners. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.